Why should Spain enter heat?
David Levin with us. He is the author of Don't Just Talk, Be Heard, Closing the Gap Between What You Say and What People Hear. He's a communications coach and he's an author. He works with people who want to communicate better and with managers who want to be more effective leaders. He's also the co-author with John G. Miller of the best-selling QBQ, The Question Behind the Question. And let us say, David, hi. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Michael Ray. Thanks for having me.
Oh, and thank you so much for being here. Communication is so confusing to most people. Let's start from scratch and say, what was it that caused you, turned on the light bulb to say, this is my field. I've got to research it. I've got to see what's going on about it and then let the people know what it is.
Well, it's interesting. I actually started out, I got pulled into this working with professional speakers. Back in the mid-90s, I was working as an audio producer, and I would help speakers produce audio, you know, products from their presentations.
Yeah.
I started to notice that there was a difference between the person I would get to know working on the project and the person I would, you know, perceive they would seem to be from the platform during their presentation. In other words, I tended to like them less during their presentation than I did in person.
Isn't that amazing?
And, it was very intriguing to me.
I hear it constantly. I'll talk to somebody. There's, you know, there'll be an interview for years and years now, David. And then everything is fine. And then when I talk to the person off the air, it's a completely different person.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost as if there's this holdback on the air. And then when I talk to them in person, you know, they're open, they're whatever. Or sometimes I find the reverse.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. So, you know, I got thinking, too, you know, what's going on? What specifically are they doing that's sending me that different message? Is making me like them less. And so I started to kind of dig into that, and I discovered some patterns, and I discovered that it turns out it wasn't just speakers. Like you say, it's pretty much everybody has these communication gaps, and they could use some help learning how to close them up. And the big thing is the incredible difference it makes in their lives when they do.
Oh, sure. Sure. You know, I learned something many, many years ago. And what I learned basically was this, those drop-dead gorgeous women that you see that were so fabulously interesting, and the more they talk, the less attractive they become. And then there was those women that were okay-looking, and the more they talked, the better-looking they became. And the difference between interesting and interested was the difference between attractive and unattractive. The ones that were attractive that lost it were interesting, but they were about themselves. The other ones were interested. They were interested in you, and they began to look better. And that all has to do with communication.
It definitely does.
Yeah. And so when you started doing this, what were some of the things that you saw that you realized were some of the differences that you could turn with people?
Well, with speakers, they would do things, well, for example, they might talk about how much money they made, or they might, you know, tell a story about all the other audiences they spoke to, or tell, you know, a bunch of airport and hotel stories, none of which are, you know, big, scary mistakes on their face.
Yeah.
But what they do is they are continually reminding their audience how they are different from them. And when we remind people of our differences, it makes them less open to us. It makes them think we don't understand and we don't get them. So they stop listening to us. It keeps us from being heard with them.
Yeah, I think the other thing that happens also, and this is from 40, don't tell anybody I'm telling you this, but 40 years in the communication field, and what I was only like one or two when I started. But one of the things that I've learned with when you get on the air, no matter who you are, 10-20% of that audience is not going to like you. And it could be your age, your gender, your ethnicity, the sound of your voice, your subject matter, your something.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing a workshop years ago, and I jumped up on a chair, and I looked at the audience, and I said, describe me. And what I got was everything from you loving, wonderful, nurturing individual to you self-centered, egotistical son of a yada, 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 right? And I said, who are you talking about? They said, you. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. And really what happened is they were projecting. And that's really the key. It was just like you were saying, you know, about what somebody's up there talking about. I have found when somebody tells their personal story right up in front, they begin to bond with the audience, and that wall of resistance starts to melt away.
I totally agree with that. If they focus on the right parts of their story,
yeah.
Too many times you see people get up there, and it's just purely me, me, me. Aren't I interesting? Aren't I fascinating? Don't you wish you could be as successful as me? And, you know, that can kind of work in some ways, but as a general rule, I find that doesn't work as well. I think they can tell their story as long as it again, features the kind of things that do connect them with people. It focuses on the emotions, the vulnerabilities, the experiences that we all can relate to.
Okay, let me add something to that. That was you tell your personal story, but the minute that the personal story's over, you disappear. And when I say you disappear, the I, me, mine never comes back out of your mouth. It is all about the audience at that point.
Oh, so you're saying that's what you would suggest?
Yeah, that's what I'm suggesting.
I got you. Absolutely. Yep,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's workable, and I really believe anything else. I've got your book in front of me right now, and I love the book.
Well, thank you.
And basically what you're dealing with is to be able to speak to an audience. And an audience could be one person or 10,000 people. You've got there is a process to communication. And if you don't understand the process, you're going to miss most of what you want. They were going to miss most of what you wanted to say.
That's right. One of the biggest problems people have is that we, and it's, you know, it's built into who we are, we tend to communicate unconsciously. We don't think about it. We just do it. And the solution is to just start thinking about it, to communicate purposefully, to plan things out, to get feedback on your plan, to work on your communication. If you just put some time into it ahead of time and think it through and then get some feedback, you can make just a tremendous difference in how effective you are with people.
You know what I found the best feedback that you can get? If you had a presentation, you want to give it to 10, 11, 12-year-olds. And when you're done, you want to say to those kids, not did you understand me, what did you hear by what I said? And if you get it, if they get it, you're on point. If they don't, you say, okay, this is what I want to say. How do I have to say it to you to make you understand? What I have found over the years that the audience is, and this is no disrespect to the audience, but you got about a 7th or 8th grade mentality out there. And when I say 7th or 8th grade mentality, and if you look at the major advertising, it's the same thing. If I'm a brain surgeon, and I'm giving a dissertation to a group of attorneys who happen to be academic, if they don't speak my language, David, I've lost them. So I've got to bring it down to a level that is understandable by everybody. It's not talking down. It's just bringing it into the realm of the way people understand and their ability to understand.
No, that's absolutely right. And by the way, I'm going to write that one down, that tip for trying it out on 12-year-olds. I love that.
Yeah, no, and it works really well because if they can understand what it is that you're talking about and the way that you want the message across, then your entire audience will also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Using stories is a big part of that too.
Yeah.
Again, it's not talking down. It's just, you know, we're wired to communicate and to both communicate in stories, to respond to stories. And the more you can present your main points in the, you know, framed in a good story, number one, it's way more entertaining, more engaging, but they're also way more likely to remember it and have some impact with them about it.
Yeah, the one thing that I learned many, many years ago was that you can talk about, not you, in the general sense of the word, you can talk about all the structure of communication, etc., but when it comes down to it, you can throw it all away, and what you end up with was, it's how they felt about what you said. They may not know what it was, the feelings are, not touchy-feely, but they felt something. It's like if you were, I'm going to pick an age, I won't ask you. Let's say you're 50 years old, and if I take you back to when you were 11, 12, 13 years old, and I ask you, if there was anybody who intimidated you, scared you, threatened you in some way, I bet any amount of money that you'll pop up with an image because you'll remember who that person was, and you'll even remember what their name was.
Mm-hmm.
Mine was when I was in the I was 11 years old, 7th grade. The local theater, it was intermission, and whatever his name was, and I know what his name was, got a hold of me and beat the whatever out of me. And I remember the two guys standing there when it happened, and the one guy who stopped him, Nick was the guy who stopped him from really doing a number on me, right? I will never forget him. I'll never forget that image, and I can tell you exactly what it looked like and it felt like. Maya Angelou, the poet, said, people won't remember what you said, they won't remember what you did, but they will remember how you made them feel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key. If there is that spark of the possibility of something, a fix to something, then all of a sudden there's a feeling behind it, and that's the spur that moves on for the call to action.
No, that's absolutely right. We connect with each other through emotion.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, most people won't realize it, but it's true. Facts and figures don't get you anywhere. You know, a communication, I know you know this, is about humanity.
Yeah.
There's got to be totally that sense of humanity within what it is that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, for guys like yourself that are doing communication training, that it's extremely important because from a relationship aspect, you know, the two people to a company, to the 500 Fortune company, it's all the same thing. If you're not communicating in a way that somebody's relating to you, you've lost it. And that could cost a lot of money. And in some cases, between country to country, it can cost lives.
Absolutely. Yeah. Money, you mentioned money, time. I mean, things go quicker when you're communicating well. It can shave years off people's career paths, relationships, you know, stronger relationships, more fulfilling lives, all the stuff we want. It all comes from communicating well.
Oh, sure. You know, I think the greatest example of that is two people. The most people, nobody's taught anybody to communicate back and forth when you meet somebody you like. Do you ever ask them, you know, what they like, how they receive love, what upsets them? We're supposed to know these things, but we don't. And communication is about asking. And when you ask, you know, and then you're on point.
And, you know, the funny thing is that people... You know, most people, well, here's a good example. What I'm trying to get at is people, they all know this. They know how important communication is, kind of theoretically or generally, but they don't make that link. I also should work on it.
Yeah.
It's like a woman just the other day was telling me, she said, around here, whenever something goes wrong, she was talking about her company,
yeah,
and we debrief afterwards, everyone agrees it was a communication problem. But then when you suggest doing some communication training, nobody thinks they need it. It's like everybody... You know, everybody stinks, but nobody thinks they need a shower.
Yeah.
It's this very strange disconnect they have around that.
Well, I think one of the reasons for that, and there's a way that I've said it for a lot of years, and the example would be something like, let's say I'll pick a number, you got $2,500 in your pocket, and your mortgage is due today. And you're also a very enthusiastic antique collector, and you have the ability to buy a very rare and a very valuable antique for that's worth about $7,000 for $2,500 today only. You got 10 seconds to make up your mind. What do you do? No right or wrong answer. You know, and there are people who say, well, I buy them, you know, I pay the mortgage, which is okay. That's fine. Some people would, some people wouldn't. But the key is, and this is extremely important, it's called never sell the way you buy. People buy for their reasons, not yours. And one of the things that I learned many, many years ago in communication is you always stay who you are. You don't change. You know, you're good the way you are. But to reach an audience, one person or 10,000, you have to step outside of yourself and think like the audience. I cannot tell you how many times over the years I've listened to people talk to themselves, present to themselves, sell to themselves without any idea that somebody thought differently than they did.
I talk about that same thing in the book when I talk about the golden rule. We all tend to communicate the way we want to be communicated to,
yeah,
which is like the golden rule, but it's the opposite of what works in communication. It's exactly like you say. You need to figure out how they want to be communicated to and do that. It's not the easiest thing to do, but if you don't do it, it's just going to fall flat.
Oh, absolutely. And you walk away and you wonder why they don't like you. Well, guess what? I got it loud and clear. Okay, but we're starting to run out of time. Let me ask you this. I picked the book up. I read it page by page, cover to cover. Don't just talk, be heard. Closing the gap between what you say and what they hear. What's my takeaway? David Levin, what do I walk away with that I didn't have before I read the book?
You got to work on your communication, and it'll be one of the best things you ever do for yourself.
I love it. Okay, and by the way, do you have a website we can find you at?
Absolutely. Thank you. Yes, it's justbeheard.com. Three words, justbeheard.com.
Hey, David, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Michael. It's a pleasure.
Take care. Good night.
All right. I can only give you love that lasts forever and the promise to be near each time you call. And the only...